Jesus said to his disciples, I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to your ancestors, you shall not kill, and whoever kills will be liable to judgment. But I say to you, whoever is angry with brother will be liable to judgment. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Again, you have heard it was said to your ancestors, do not take a false oath, but make good to the Lord all that you vow. But I say to you, do not swear at all. Let your yes mean yes and your no mean no. Anything more is from the evil one. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus
Christ. Dear friends, if I had to put a title to this homily, it would be Marathon Catholics versus 5K Marathon Catholics. I will explain. So in January and February, when many of us can't do as much sport as we'd like, at least I like to read about sports until we wait for the springtime. It's just kind of like a hobby, and I've been reading up on some athletes. I finished the book on Scottie Scheffler and how he started. He's from New Jersey, and the sacrifices that his businesswoman mother did to bring him to Dallas and have more time to be down there where you can play year-round, and just his dedication to the sport, his perfectionism, without it becoming like, you know, something bad. He's just a good-hearted but a hard-working golfer. Another book I read was the one on Justin Rose, which I thought was kind of a jerk, but I found out that it was my bad impression. He's actually a great guy. And he has a beautiful marriage. And when COVID hit, he funded the women's league. I don't know if it was the LPGA, but some league, so that, because they had less funding. And he said, no, they've got to keep playing. So beautiful gestures, a lot of discipline. He's one of the oldest guys, won recently at Torrey Pines. Another example, you know, sports is a place where even the Vatican has a part of a dicastery that, you know, promotes sports. A lot of kids, you know, and we, even grown-ups, we are formed in the, you can say, the self-mastery, the fair play, justice, prudence, through sports. Another one, but this one I haven't finished, is Steph Curry. And just his journey, his perfectionism. And we are in the time of the Olympics, and you see the joy of these young 18, 19, 20, 22-year-olds or more, who after such great sacrifice, they get the medal, and it's a lot of tears. Joy for mom, dad, for the siblings, for the friends back home. And I say this because even St. Paul uses the language of athletes. He says, I have run the good race. The good race of the soul, the good race of life on earth. And the title that now I'm going to explain, I coined it that way because recently it's been in my heart that many people say, I'm a Catholic, but settle for very little. It's like saying, I'm a marathon runner. Yeah. How much do you run? 5K. But that's not a marathon. No, I redefine what marathon is. I run 5, and that's what I do. Wait, but you're just getting started. It's this reality that can creep into our souls of settling for very little. When the ordinary, we believe, is the extraordinary. When we've done just a little bit, and we want a trophy and a prize for doing very little, for settling for less. If I were to ask you, hey, come up here and tell everybody in what areas we can settle. you probably do it better than I would. But what are some areas? Well, first, always love that is practical. Last week's homily, I mentioned that it's so easy to give a smile and be kind to the bus driver or the Uber driver or the man or the woman at the coffee shop, because they don't trigger our wounds and are the worst of us. It's our loved ones who trigger them. It's our spouse, our friends, our siblings. Very easy to smile outside, but that's not the measure of character. Character is to be patient for time number 1,000 with the person I live with. So that would be one area in which might have settled for very little. And look, Jesus, just listen to this being said to you, brothers and sisters. Unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter in the kingdom of heaven. It's the part of our coach, Jesus, saying, are you training enough? Are you calling yourself a 5K marathon runner? And do you actually do the full marathon or just 5K? And you say, I did it. When is the best time of the year to train for the race of Christ? The one of which St. Paul said, I have run the good race. You guessed it. Lent. It's coming up. It's the time when, just like the Muslims have the Ramadan, God bless them, we have Lent, which is beautiful because it's 40 days of grabbing Jesus by the shoulder and saying, well, he would say to us, walk with me. What are you going to sacrifice? What are you going to give up? How are you going to stop the immediate gratification, instant gratification, and train your body, which is so connected to the soul, to be who it needs to be? So one area is love. The other could be my eyes. How we live in Manhattan. Most of us here. So many things to see that are not good. So many things to hear, to smell, to touch. It's the purification of our senses so that the soul will elevate itself. What other area? The area of prayer. How many of you are as consistent with prayer as you are with the gym? I bet the gym would beat prayer, especially for those under 40. Can't miss the gym, Father. Can't miss that one. I just gained 0.5 pound. How many pounds have you gained spiritually? Like sloth, fat, spiritual fatness. Well, that's what Lent wants to do to us. Jesus comes every year and says, I'm giving you bookends. Ash Wednesday, Holy Saturday. 40 days, a little bit more than 40 days, so that you can choose, ask me, not me, Father, Jesus. Lord, in what areas have I become a 5K marathon runner? An oxymoron. One thing is not the other. In what areas? Jesus has a dream for each one of us. A huge dream. And we heard in the second reading, and we have a dream for ourselves, which is heaven. But I love the way Paul puts it because it makes us understand how unfathomable it is. He says, no eye has seen and no ear has heard. No mind can imagine what God has prepared for those who love him. And love him is virtue. He just said it. Your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees. Righteousness. Righteousness is a synonym of justice. Justice is a synonym of love. Give each one of what is due to them. That's what it is. So as we face Lent, oh, and just one thing that I've been saying in the morning mass, all the mystics, the masters of spiritual life say that the greatest joy you can dream about, which for me would be a hole-in-one. I've never gotten one. On earth is the least, it's just a little spark of the least joy in heaven. That's the plan that God has for us. That's the banquet. That's the new city. That's the party. That's the joy that he's expecting us. But in Catholic anthropology, it does require some effort. And that's why Lent is here. So gentlemen, women, we're 3 days away. Start praying. We still have about half an hour of Mass to go. Lord, how are you leading me to start something significant on Wednesday so I can, like you, who walked 40 days without eating or drinking, like the people of Israel for 40 years from slavery of sin to the promised land, I want to arrive to the promised land of Easter, where everything is joy, sin is defeated, and death has no sting. How can we do that? Well, let the Lord guide you. He's our coach. He's our spiritual coach. And ask Mary, Mother, would you be so kind as to intercede for me in this Mass so that as I receive the body and blood, the body in which the blood is contained of your Son, I may also know in which way he's calling me to that paradise, to growth. Amen.